Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
Star Trek Podcast.
James has told me all about you. Regina, Countess Bartholomew. Do sit down. May I offer you some tea, Captain?
Thank you, no. I've come here to prevail on your intelligence and your insight.
But not apparently my humility.
Credit where credit is due, madam. I can see you are a woman not only of breeding, but of wit and sagacity.
And you, sir, are a man of charm and guile. You remind me of Viscount Oglethorpe. He was a man who could bewitch any woman who breathed.
And do you suspect that that is my intent?
I cannot be certain of your intent. But I am certain you're the kind of man who usually gets exactly what he wants.
Oh, no, the clock has started. So that means the podcast is starting.
Oh, no, what are we going to do?
Five, six,
well,
seven,
we got the clock started, eight. So we got to start the podcast.
Well, what?
Yeah. And Dan, you said you have a lot of government work to get up to.
Yeah. So, a lot of government
so
work.
So we got to get through this podcast. Because
that guy works for the government.
Yeah. What about them ChatGPT, huh, guys? Like, that's all the news lately.
Okay.
It's all anyone fucking talks about.
I don't even know what you mean.
All right.
Did you know Google has one too and it fucked up and it caused the stock market to go crazy because it fucked up?
Dan, you are challenging the status of these podcast episodes from being evergreen.
Oh,
yeah.
Evergreen, which is
a EG.
That's a podcast lingo for a podcast that, in theory, you could spool up at any time and garner some significant amount of entertainment out
how
of
about
it.
That
to
shit?
Keep all time
it's not locked in a particular time. There's no time frame of enjoyment.
How about that shit Jennifer Lopez said the other day? Was it as bad as what Ben Shapiro said? Okay. I would guess it wasn't.
I believe you're referencing people who haven't existed for decades. I don't think these are people who are important.
Ben Shapiro.
Currently.
I think that's a current fellow.
Yeah, no, they're all gone.
They're all gone.
There's other people.
That was back then.
It was back then.
Oh, my mistake.
Yeah, see? Yeah. Ooh, I've added to the evergreen nature.
It's my...
You can only exist
Alzheimer's.
In here.
Okay, all right. Let's get started so Dan can get to his government business and Jesse
do my
and I
government
can,
work. I don't work
Jesse
for the government.
Jesse and I can get to our
we
other business.
Keep hanging
I don't work for the government.
Man, doesn't work for the government.
I don't work for the government, okay?
Right. Okay, this is all in reference to last week, and there are some people who will not have listened to last week's episode.
Probably a lot of people.
They might only be into the TNG. They might be bouncing around saying, like, we only want to listen to the TNG.
So we're tuning into this one.
Episodes. And this is indeed, yes, a TNG episode of which podcast?
It's Got Star Trek.
That's right. The It's Got Star Trek podcast. This is episode 171.
Mm-hmm. 171.
Of the podcast.
71.
Of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. Mm-hmm. And this week, we have broken with convention.
Uh-oh.
We've broken with recent
Because we didn't go
convention.
with the thing.
Yes. Okay. So, the algorithm, right?
The algorithm.
Just approach this head on.
Algorithm.
So no one's confused.
Even though somebody made a little cartoon about us and the algorithm. Oh, yeah. And
Albatross.
Episode. So, the algorithm.
Albatross.
Albatross.
Dan has developed.
Oh, we're still talking about this.
A proprietary.
Oh, man, every week.
Algorithm.
That's how podcasts work.
Man. To help us select which episode to discuss week to week when there isn't a new television program on. However, next week, the third season of Star Trek Picard, third and final season of Star Trek Picard.
Oh, that's
up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be doing our weekly coverage. We will not need the algorithm at that time because logic dictates we simply do the next episode.
We just follow what's
as
on
they
TV.
End. That's what we're promising to the audience.
I can assure you,
it's pretty much
we have
no
idea that would be the case.
Well, no, I think most people did assume that indeed was going to be the case. But this week we wanted to
do
an episode that'll help us lead into Star Trek Picard Season 3.
Maybe.
And apropos of nothing, we decided to go with Ship in a Bottle. Season 6, Episode 12, which closes the loop on the story started in the elementary My Dear Data, the Season 2 episode, which we discussed, I don't know.
This one's got much less Dr. Pulaski.
A couple months ago, I think we discussed that.
Oh, yeah, much less Dr. Pulaski.
Much less Dr. Pulaski.
Yes, there's no Dr. Pulaski.
Oh, my God. Much better.
Okay, so that's our plan. And so
Do you remember when she got all stuffed full of crumpets?
You're talking about Dr. Pulaski?
Yeah, yes. That was weird. She was all like, you know, off kilter and going like, I'm stuffed full of crumpets.
Well, crumpets are all air, though.
I think she's all full of air. Dense now. Crumpets if they're covered in some cream.
Some jam.
Some sort of marmalade.
Honey.
Whatever you put the cream on
first. You put
first.
Honey on your crumpets?
You put cream on first.
It still remains a mystery.
That's a scone.
But you can do it with a fucking crumpet, too.
This is the same difference.
That is not possible.
Well, let's all take a trip to jolly old England.
And we'll jolly old England.
We'll figure it all out.
You cannot exist outside this room.
All right. So, anyway, all that is to say that we are eschewing the algorithm this week. We already mentioned this last week, but we're eschewing the algorithm this week to hand select a specific episode that we wanted to discuss because we thought it was appropriate leading into Star Trek Picard Season 3.
Because there's some kind of, you see the Moriarty guy.
Yes, possibly. We see that in the preview, so we thought this might be relevant.
What's the deal with that?
What's the deal?
Maybe it's just a tease.
Well, we must assume that he's in there.
Jean-Luc Picard, what a tease.
Yeah.
So we'll figure all that out.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of the previews for the new Picard, so I don't know what's going on.
I just saw one little commercial for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're all excited about Picard, even though we're not.
I didn't say I was that excited about it.
No, I mean, we'll see. Seasons 1 and 2 were, I think, the basic general consensus on this podcast was entertaining, if flawed.
That was cool, though.
Particularly in the latter halves of the season. Both of the seasons of 1 and 2 of Picard were a little odd towards the end. But
that was kind of true. Like strong start, sort of like got wandery and a little odd.
A bit wandery, yeah.
But that's not what we're talking about this week. What we're talking about this week
Walter
is
Wanderly.
Ship in a Bottle. Which has
kind of like you said, Shibidababu.
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 I didn't know we were talking about
Shibidababu. Yeah.
Shibidababu.
Ship in a Bottle, which is they say it in this episode. I'm wondering if Dan is Dan. Did you get that audio clip?
Do they actually say ship in a bottle?
Yeah, Moriarty was like this. Whatever he refers to, he says the title. He says,
wow.
Ship in a Bottle.
I don't know how I fucking missed that.
I'm surprised you missed that.
I'm disappointed in myself.
I like when he says a fictional man.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Right.
Well, I like
a holodeck character. A fictional man.
The dialogue in this episode is to die for.
I know.
It's some of the lines are so great. This Victorian language, especially
a holodeck character, a fictional man.
Yes. But a
spy. I'm alive.
Especially,
you know, the guy's from Arkansas.
Yes, I know. He's so great. What's the name of the actor?
Oh shit!
You know, he
was on The Nanny.
Yes, he was on The Nanny. He was on a number of things. He's a great actor.
Well, I have it somewhere. If you'll just give me a second,
I'm pulling it up right now.
If you just give me a second, Daniel Davis.
Yes, Daniel Davis. No, Danny Davis to his buds, Danny Davis. He is great. The Countess is great. The conversation.
My mother took to her bed in terror. I'd be bitten by tsetse if
Regina Bartholomew.
Yes.
I got to wear
Stephanie
trousers.
Beecham.
The whole time.
She's great.
Oh, did you notice this? Okay, listen to this line by Moriarty.
If you loved a woman like this, Lieutenant.
What did he say that was weird in that sentence?
He said lieutenant.
Lieutenant.
Right. The British form of...
British people always say lieutenant. That. They don't pronounce it lieutenant.
Because lieutenant means lieutenant.
I know. I'm just saying, you were talking about...
Je m'appelle Patrick.
They deliberately mispronounce French words.
I know. You were talking... I said that because, Patrick, you were talking about...
Amelie.
How you like the...
Amelie. I wanted a pizza.
You were talking about how you like the language in this episode, so that's why...
I do like the language.
Yes, so I thought that was
I
interesting.
Like the language.
I'm not coming saying like, oh, they're so silly. They said lieutenant. I was just commenting on. It's like this.
I'm super delighted with
Picard
what you just did
say,
there,
Picard
Dan.
Picard doesn't say lieutenant.
I'm super delighted.
Right. How many British people do you think actually say lieutenant?
It is an archaic term.
That's what I was getting at. That's what I was getting at.
I don't know.
That's what I was getting at.
I don't currently serve in the British Armed Forces. So
no,
I
but my point was
that would be tight if you did.
Because when I said it, Patrick was all like, "Dude, yeah, that's what they say in England, Dan. Not everyone's like an American, okay? It's not being so Americocentric." And I was like, "No, my point was is they use
inside the beltway.
They use more traditional, like older language, and I'm smart."
I have a few minor quibbles with your impersonation of me. Very minor, however.
Oh, no.
But we can discuss those off air.
Yeah.
Discuss those. Oh, no, that's really bad.
I was like, come to my office.
We're going to speak about that later.
Come to my office. all right. Anyway, we've gotten off to a silly start as usual. But for very, 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 very tiny brief background for some of those very small number of that very small proportion of the audience who for one reason or another has not seen Elementary Dear Data and or has not listened to our excellent podcast on that episode. This is a sequel to that story. And in that story, in brief, Data was playing around on the holodeck with Geordi, and Data was into pretending to be Sherlock Holmes.
But he wasn't doing it the right way.
He was just going through the motions because he'd read all the books, and Geordi called him out on it and said he was being lame and stupid. And Data then, was like, fuck you, Geordi. And then they made...
And Geordi was like, do something, hey computer, do something that Data can't beat.
Yeah, Geordi challenged the computer to create an enemy that could conceivably defeat Data.
What was it that Pulaski said? When Data saw the first one, she was like, fraud! Or something like that. She was just like, it was all weird. Right, but so this is what...
Very, very nonsense.
So the lines about making how they broke the holodeck and created a monster that could take down the Enterprise through words. This is what LaForge first said.
Computer, in the Holmesian style, create an adversary capable of defeating
Data. The Holmesian style.
Oh, wait a second.
The computer went right to Moriarty.
Sorry, I actually skipped one. Okay, the first one goes like this.
Computer, in the Holmesian style, create a mystery to confound Data.
Ah, yes.
With an opponent who has the ability to defeat him.
Ah.
Define parameters of program.
And then the next one
create an adversary capable of defeating Data.
Now, later on in this episode... Moriarty, remember at one point he quoted back that line and he was all like something to that effect. This is what he thought.
This is
what he thought LaForge said.
Create an opponent with the capacity to outthink Data, or words to that effect.
To that effect. It wasn't the same word.
Yeah. Paraphrasing.
Yeah, to that effect. So, you know. So yeah, that's what happened in that episode, and it ended with Moriarty being put
because Data was being Sherlock Holmes. If Data was doing, I mean, they could have come up with Darth Vader, like, you know, but it was Sherlock Holmes, so it was Moriarty instead.
Well, they wouldn't have come up with Darth Vader.
If they were doing a Star Wars holodeck thing, they would have come up with Darth Vader.
They don't have Star Wars. Doesn't exist in Star Trek.
It would have.
No, I think it does.
No, it doesn't.
I think it's got to.
It happened in their 20th century.
Star Trek doesn't exist in Star Trek.
Well, they know about the Beastie Boys.
And
I know about Mozart and the Beastie Boys.
They got Mozart.
They're always playing Mozart and
the Beastie Boys.
And every zombie movie is unaware of zombies.
That one time they were
zombies
playing Mozart,
don't exist
but
in
it was
zombie
Brahms movies. Instead.
Oh, yeah. You had a real, real issue with that.
I did.
Yeah, well, anyways, so the episode ended with Moriarty being put away. Moriarty was like actually quite...
They just saved the program.
Moriarty was really chill about it, although he might not have been so chill had he known that he would have to live, 4 years?
In some nightmarish...
Trapped in his own brain.
It sounds really bad.
Yeah, I know, and he seemed like he had his wits about him pretty good when he like...
At least partially.
He would have been a little bit loony, I think.
I would have think he would have been like non-communicative. Like he would have been fucked up.
That's some solitary shit. Yeah,
yeah, but so Barkley brought him back. So, okay.
Barkley brought him back.
So the reason he came... So when Data like threw that thing at that guy...
Okay, yeah.
And he caught it with the wrong hand.
Well, back up a minute now.
Well, okay.
Okay, so it starts... With Geordi and Data doing the holodeck thing on
Curious
with Sherlock Holmes again.
London's greatest detective.
London's
and Geordi is Watson.
Fish and chips.
Fish and chips.
Do you have any crisps?
But like
fish and chips.
They're still doing.
Yes, he's still doing it, Jesse. You're correct. Dan is still playing that.
No, not Dan is still doing it. Of course, Dan's still doing it. But Geordi is still willing to do this stuff with Data because Data's gotten better at the whole make-believe thing and just kind of being a better sport about it.
Yeah. Being less of an asshole.
Except this time, this time the computer is glitching. Yeah.
And now here's the question.
Yeah.
My understanding.
I'm wondering if you have the same question as I do, because I have a question too about that whole premise.
I think we probably have the same question. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who wants to take it out first?
You go first, because you started.
I'll take it out, and then you guys will show me yours. Yeah, you know, one person has to take it out, and then the other people will be like, all right, he took it out, so we got to take it out.
Yeah.
The questions. We're talking about questions.
Question.
So,
This
is a comfort episode for me. It's I wouldn't say it's my top favorite, but it's up there. It's like, this is an episode along with Elementary Dear Data. I love watching this episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've seen it a countless number of times.
It's a good one. It's good Star Trek.
My understanding always was that it was Moriarty who was causing the glitches in order to facilitate his escape in some fashion
to catch their attention.
However,
you could say
later on in the episode
they don't seem to make it explicit.
Yeah, because it's still happening. When he's trying to trick them.
Exactly. It's still happening when he's doing holographic stuff.
So it could just be this, just a coincidental thing, like the holodeck is just glitching.
Right. Okay. So let's take this event by event. There's two events in question. One is the initial event.
This is my favorite way to take events.
By event.
Singular in a serial fashion. Ideally with a lot of dilly-dallying in between events.
Okay. So
one in front.
Ideally, it's not necessary. That's an ideal. It was my birthday the other day.
What?
Yesterday.
I'm saying you can give me my ideal. You can do a lot of dilly-dally.
I don't understand.
You just ruined the evergreen nature of the podcast by saying that it was your birthday.
Yeah, but as far as the audience is concerned, they couldn't give a fuck if my birthday was always in this week.
Any day could be
overwhelming.
Okay. All right. Now that I caught your attention again.
Uh-huh. Event by event.
So the first event was, of course, when Data threw the thing at the guy, and he assumed that the guy...
Mention the event. You know that...
Jesus Christ, man! You know that, come on, dude!
That Mitchell Webb look.
God,
sketch,
I don't fucking
event.
Care.
I mean, it's a series of
sketches.
Can you
hold it off? Just wait.
All right. I apologize. No, very few people in our audience are going to know about that Mitchell and Webb look.
The British event. People, though.
Type in Google... That Mitchell and Webb look, the event.
See, I think you do this because you think it's humorous to raise my ire, but I don't think it is that humorous. I think it just detracts from us getting a point out.
I agree that it detracts from us getting a point out, and I agree that I might think it's humorous. What I would say is that I think it's not, I'm not consciously trying to think it's humorous. Okay. I think I'm implicitly thinking it's humorous. Okay. Sort of an instinctual thing.
Interesting.
Sort of a base animal thing.
So I can be less annoyed about it, I guess. So the first event happens where Data throws the thing at the guy and the guy catches it with his right hand and you
Data
know,
doesn't even notice, by the way.
Data doesn't even notice.
He just keeps going with his shtick.
He's still Data.
So he's still doing the Data
trying,
thing. Yeah, but that's interesting where he's still like, he's still not quite, he's still doing what Pulaski was complaining about before where he all expected about that. And so the guy caught it with the right hand and he was like, see, he's caught it with his left hand. And then the guy was all like,
London's greatest detective.
And then he disappeared, right?
Freeze program.
And then so Barkley.
He's so sad when he says that. He's like, freeze, bro.
So he goes like,
Reg. Thanks, Reg.
Reg.
Thanks, Reg. Thanks, Reg. Reg. Thanks, Reg. Thanks, Reg. Reg. Ho. Ho, Reg.
Yeah. All right. What was that when he said ho, Reg?
Reg.
Is he walking too fast?
He's like a horse. It's like, ho.
Yeah,
ho,
it's like,
there,
whoa, slow up. Slow down there. Wait.
So they call Reg up to say like, hey, this thing's glitching out, yo. And then say, come up.
He's
and
the
then,
holodeck,
and then
dude.
As Patrick pointed out, like we, and I think we all sort of was implied, right? Is that it was,
what? We're letting you say
I know, he, you are. You're being very good.
Have you gotten so used to interruptions?
I'm waiting for it.
You can't.
Because I see you sitting still,
you
like nodding and sitting still. I'm like, I'm waiting
properly.
For you to go. I'm waiting for you to go. But the sploobity boopity boop.
Indubitably.
So the guy goes, the guy says, he says,
oh,
he
man,
says, Reg,
vaudeville joke set up.
We think that the wrong-handedness happened because that was Moriarty trying to get their attention to be like, hey, man. I'm going crazy. But later on in the episode, when he threw the thing at Geordi.
At fake Geordi.
Fake, who, by the way, when Geordi like realized he was a hologram.
I know. It got weird.
It was like, do you remember that episode where Troy had to send Geordi to his death in the holodeck
program?
Yes,
it was similar.
It was like that, where it was like,
all right.
He was like confused and a little bit bummed out, but also like resigned. It's like, oh man.
I know. That was rough.
That was rough.
And they were like, then they had to like make him go away while I could talk.
Yeah, right. So can you stand over there, Geordi?
Sure. Look at the corner, you know, kind of.
Both of you guys.
Check out those isolinear rods over there.
Right. So when he threw it at him.
Isolinear chips, I should say, because this is TNG and not Deep Space Nine. I just wanted to preempt.
The ship works.
Instead of rods?
Yes, because the Cardassians use the rods because of the whole Cardassian thing.
They like rods.
Federation uses the chips. By the way, on The Expanse,
the
Martian Navy also apparently uses isolinear chips because there's a few episodes where they like open up the things and there's a bunch of looks like isolinear chips.
Patrick.
You are, in essence, a new life form.
I've been around for a little while. Like I said, it's just at my birthday.
Was it really?
Unless we're all in a simulation.
Ooh.
Unless it's one of those, what is it, solipsism or whatever, you know, like where it's like you guys don't exist, only I exist, and everything is just an illusion to keep me
detained.
What
if you guys don't exist and only I exist?
Yeah, it might be that you're the one who exists.
In the meantime.
It seems like that to me.
What's Picard saying?
In the meantime.
In the meantime?
But then later he
goes.
But then later he goes.
In the meantime.
But.
In the meantime.
But then later in that same episode, he goes.
In the meantime.
Why does he have
that?
In the meantime.
No, does he ever go like, in the meantime?
I do that, though. No, notice he puts he's not like Spock where he's consistent with his sensors. He puts the emphasis on time, and then the other one he puts it on mean. Listen, first one.
In the meantime.
I got you.
In the meantime. In the meantime.
Okay. Yeah. So in the second time that they
what a fucking hack.
No, it's range. He's got range, baby.
So when Data throws the thing at Geordi and like Geordi catches it, immediately the audience knows it's like, oh, Data's doing the thing. But like Geordi catches it with the wrong hand, and that's how Data knows that it's fucked up. Because first of all, like that would, if that were true, then that would erase our assumption that Moriarty did it.
It would not erase it, but it does complicate it. It doesn't erase it because Moriarty could have instigated these errors and not turn them off.
Yes, yeah.
He may not repair them. He might not even know how to repair
them. That's a lot to assume, but you're right.
It could be that he didn't say, I'm going to cause...
on the holiday.
I doubt, in fact, that Moriarty's plan was, I'm going to cause this very specific problem where everyone catches things with the wrong fucking hand, because that's my clever plan. I can imagine more that this limp, half-formed consciousness of Moriarty in the computer core, in the memory core, was able at brief moments to just sort of like wiggle around and grab on some virtual circuits and wires.
It's a lot to assume.
And he couldn't predict what the error would be, but he was trying to cause some sort of error.
But maybe
he was just trying to climb out of the virtual abyss.
So it just kept happening after
the abyss.
Like,
he was just trying to grasp onto anything with his mind, because it does seem like it would be horrific torture even to have brief moments of consciousness.
But Patrick,
in a computer
system. As you said, it complicates the issue, and I would argue that there was no reason for them to complicate the issue because it makes it too overly confusing. We want to know what was the reason that they caught the thing with the wrong hand? Was it because Moriarty was clawing his way out?
I think it was just a coincidental glitch.
Or was it to like?
And Reg never got to fucking fix it because he got distracted by fucking Moriarty.
I'm positing. Let me posit, then you can posit.
I want to posit.
You posit
so
after
fucking
I
bad,
posit.
Though.
That's how
I'm
it
so
works,
fucking
baby.
Eager
so,
to posit.
So was the wrong-handedness, did that occur to show us that Moriarty was clawing his way out? Or was it used as a plot device to let us be like, Geordi, we can tell Geordi's fake because this bug exists. Or, as Patrick said, maybe it can be both. But then on top of it, let's say it is a bug that exists. That's kind of a big coincidence that every time you throw someone something, because you notice the guy was supposed to be left-handed, he caught it with his right. But Geordi was supposed to be right-handed and caught it with his left.
Yeah,
because
it's just reversing flags.
I can catch stuff with my left.
It's just reversing
flags. But the point is like every time you throw something at someone, they always catch it with the wrong hand because they're reversing the flags.
I can envision a glitch that reverses the flags.
But it doesn't necessarily make. I'm not left-handed, but I can catch stuff with my left hand. If it's thrown to the left, it would be all weird. The left part of my body, I'm going to use my left hand. I think,
if I'm remembering correctly, because my memory is failing these days.
Uh-oh.
You just have a hard time concentrating.
No, it's just because we're getting old.
Middle age.
And there's so much fucking Star Trek to shove in here. You know? You got to shove all this fucking Star Trek
in. Don't shove it, dude.
Ho Ridge.
But I think that... For me, whether it's headcanon or otherwise, I think there's sufficient evidence to at least allow for this possibility. The disembodied consciousness of Moriarty was flitting around in the system and doing whatever it could to necessitate some form of action, and that the predictable result was some sort of error. The unpredictable result would be how that error would manifest.
I think that's assuming a lot. Jesse, what do you posit?
He thinks it's a coincidence.
Well, I think it's a coincidence, but I could see how he tweaked something and made the glitch happen, and then it kept happening, but he didn't have any control over it.
Okay.
That could be a thing.
Well, here's what Picard thinks.
Really?
It still remains a mystery. Yeah.
Well.
Yes.
That's what Picard thinks.
Yes. Well.
Was that too forced?
He just likes to say that.
No, because that line is... Yeah, well, yes. Yes, it's too forced. Yes, playing that clip was too forced, and here's the reason why. Here's my thesis as to why. Because what Picard was referring to was how Moriarty got off of the holodeck. He wasn't referring to what was causing the glitch.
Oh, wow. You were able to name, like, out of context where that was from.
Yes, we've just watched this episode.
I can assure you, we had no idea that would be the case.
We are Star Trek scholars. It is incumbent upon us to pay great deal of attention and analyze these episodes in a thorough and systematic fashion.
Yes. I no longer believe anything you say.
Yes, okay. All right, that's all good. What's the next point? The Barkley thing that I thought was funny is that you mentioned briefly, Dan, about how Barkley was rushing in, and Geordi's all like, whoa, yeah, right. Barkley.
Reg.
What that made me think of was that kind of scenario where you call the person who is a little bit clingy, like the friend or whatever, and you're like, hey, do you want to hang out? And they're like, yeah. And you're like, all right, meet at my house. And then your doorbell rings like a minute later because they've just been parked out front waiting for permission. To come inside, that's what it felt like.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
It's fucked up because Data and LaForge were the cool kids hanging out, and like Barkley wanted to be a part of it.
And they were like, come clean up our game.
Yeah, they were rubbing it in his
clean
face.
Clean up our trash. There's something all fucked up with it.
There's something all fucked up with it.
We want to play our game.
Reg. Well, he's isn't he the holodeck technician?
Well, he's an engineer. He's a skilled engineer on the USS Enterprise.
Well, you have to be.
Yes.
Well, they were talking about like this is the moment when.
What are you talking about, Willis? That's the slogan from. What's, not a slogan. It's a catchphrase.
What are you talking about, Willis?
Different Strokes.
So Barkley brings up Moriarty.
Early 1980s.
And Barkley
sitcom.
Throws some shit at Moriarty, and he all catches it and throws it down in disgust. He's like, "What is this bullshit?" And then
that was funny.
Yeah. And then
he's like, "What are you doing, dude?"
Yeah. He asks Picard, ask Barkley to get Picard to meet him in the sitting room, which Barkley later refers to as the drawing room.
It's because Barkley is he's an uncultured future man piece of shit.
Well, what's...
Is there a difference?
He don't know the difference.
What is the difference?
Well, the sitting room is where you sit around, and the drawing room is where you draw pictures.
That's where you make up.
And you also practice drawing your curtains.
Your plans.
Is this
when you draw your curtains?
You draw up your plans.
You draw your curtains and you paint pictures in the dark.
Now, when they were saying sitting room or drawing room, was this like a public house or was this part of somebody's?
That sounds like a private house.
A public house is separate. A sitting room or drawing room.
Well, I know
that's in your residence. That's a residence.
I mean, I know public house is what pub is short for, but meaning is it open to the public or is it like, you think it's part of someone's house?
A salon is open to the public.
Because he said, meet me at this address at the sitting room. He wasn't like, come to my house and sit, come to the sitting room.
Oh, they didn't mention the parlor.
And he just assumed he had access to inside their house.
The parlor used to be where you put the dead bodies
That's
of your family
you your
members.
Funeral, yeah.
And then when that style went out of practice in the U.S., and the U.S. developed a fairly...
That's where you put your fucking sofa.
Well, the U.S. developed this fairly unusual form of, funeral home things. Most other countries countries. They don't have funeral homes. That's the thing. And we converted our parlors into living rooms. And the term living room was designed to kind of get rid of the ghosts of the parlor. This is where the living people hang out.
Spooky.
So
that's your fun fact for the day.
Whose sitting room was this? Was it Moriarty's sitting room? It looked like it was Holmes' sitting room.
Well.
So maybe. Why does Moriarty have access to Holmes' sitting room?
Because it's a
holiday. Because it's a holiday.
He took that shit.
It's a holiday.
Over.
You can't say that as an excuse.
In this case, you can't because Moriarty knows it's a holiday.
Moriarty knew how to draw the ship.
They're still on the holiday.
Moriarty knew how to draw the ship. He knew how to take control of the ship.
They're still on the holiday.
Moriarty knew how to draw the ship. He knew how to take control of the ship, but he didn't know that it was a spaceship.
I actually was annoyed by that because...
I think he was just bullshit.
I think it's clear in Elementary Dear Data that he does know it's a spaceship.
Because he had that lever that makes it all stop and go.
Well, and also he had the picture, like you said, he had the picture of the Enterprise, and he clearly... knew what was going on. So they retconned that a little bit to make that that joke, which wasn't that interesting of a joke.
No.
They were just trying to have a moment of discovery.
Yeah.
And I disagreed vehemently with that particular choice.
In that opening sort of game they were playing, when Data puts the pipe up to his teeth, and he does it in the first one too, I don't like that noise of like the pipe clacking against the teeth. The only thing worse...
I do like that
noise. The only thing worse is in when you watch TV shows or movies and they're eating dinner
with
the
cool
fork,
noise.
The metallic fork.
I don't like that noise. I don't like a metallic fork tines on the teeth, but I do like a pipe stem on the teeth.
Because a pipe stem is a nice... substance. It's a nice densitator to knock against your teeth.
I guess it's better than a fork. I don't like listening to it though.
No.
So they put strychnine on the cigar. Hey, speaking of cigars, remember Bill Clinton?
Oh God.
Oh God, dude.
This is an evergreen podcast.
Oh man, Star Trek.
But strychnine.
Strychnine.
That was when strychnine was all the rage. Was back in the 90s. Yeah. Then Breaking Bad came out, and it was ricin.
Strychnine
was ricin.
Was all the rage what's in the 90s.
What's the cool poison the 1890s? These days? What's the current cool poison?
Somewhere between
was botulism in there anytime?
Somewhere around
was botulism after or before
what about
ricin?
The bubonic
plague? Anthrax became like...
No, anthrax was early 2000s. And then ricin was like 2008, but I'm just wondering where was botulism.
Anthrax, they also talked about because of that band in the 80s too.
Yeah, anthrax. You fucking horse. You fucking horse.
Anthrax has some decent tunes.
They do have some decent tunes.
I like the way that guy dances when he plays guitar. He just like stomps around.
He's got a good groove.
He's got a big old thingy. I'm a beard. Beard. Jesus.
All right.
So I don't know. I just assumed it was anthrax again. I guess I don't know.
Okay.
I guess I didn't know.
How about this? You know what I do know? It feels
take a break.
It feels good to take a break.
Take a break, bitch.
Take a break.
We'll take... program and save.
Yes, that would be... Well, we're not quite at the end yet, but we'll take a break and we'll continue this conversation in just a little tiny bit. All right, be right back.
And we're back.
All right, we're back.
Jesse couldn't take
it. By order of Jesse, we are back. We have returned.
Welcome back.
What's going on, Dan?
So four years.
You explain what's going on.
You know, he was trapped 4 years in there. And
Four years.
Living rooms, parlor, sitting rooms, drawing room.
I knew it was going to be one of these episodes.
Raising the stakes.
It's always one of these episodes.
Everyone's fucking hyper tonight.
Nah, we're just excited.
Look at all these coffees I have. There's two coffees.
Jesse does drink quite a bit of coffee.
So it's been 4 years that Moriarty's been trapped in there. And that works out because the Elementary Dear Data was December 5th, 1988. And this one was January 25th, 1993 a difference of about 4 years.
So that would mean that...
Second season versus sixth season. What,
so Elementary My Dear Data.
It's just Elementary Dear Data, not My Dear Data. It's just Elementary Dear Data. It's not called Elementary My Dear Data. Patrick, what the fuck kind of moron are you? How fucking stupid are you that you would insert the letter... the letter M and the letter Y put together to create the word my. My Dear Data. It's just Elementary Dear Data. Absurdity.
I agree wholeheartedly. what were we saying? That this is a TV show
I forgot, dude, that we
enjoyed. And one of the reasons we enjoyed
it too much
is because of X. All right. What's that X, Dan?
So Picard claimed that in those 4 years that he hadn't forgotten about Moriarty. But you know he totally forgot about Moriarty.
I think he totally,
forgot.
I think everybody forgot about him. They never mentioned him ever again, like all the different things that happened.
Do you think the writers ever intended on following up on this episode? Or do you think it was just kind of like, hey, we should follow up on that.
Was there any similarities between who wrote the other episode and this episode?
Yeah, I was just wondering if they ever intended on coming back to this episode, which is why they never talked to it. Maybe the writers were just like, yeah, we don't need to do that again. But then later on, they're like, hey, let's do it again.
It was mostly episodic back then.
Running out of ideas. Yeah.
This is one of the very, very, very rare TNG episodes that involves the crew having to deal with a challenge caused by something they had done in the past. This was not something that was common on TOS or TNG. It was very common on Deep Space Nine and a little bit more on Voyager. And of course, in newer serialized Treks.
Some stuff came back to common. Bite them on Voyager.
But and Lower Decks has made very good fodder of this for comedy, of sort of commenting on the fact that all these starships fly around and zoom in, save the day, fly away, and then don't follow up and make some dubious decisions along the way. So this is interesting. This episode is interesting from that angle of being something that they've got, you know, so they've made some decisions in the past. And one of those decisions was maybe not to put as much thought into helping this guy out. Although I do believe Picard that they sent the information along. I don't doubt that. Boffins at Starfleet HQ.
They were like, yeah, our greatest minds are working on this issue, and we didn't come up with anything. But then suddenly, like, Geordi and Data and Barclay get together, and they come up with these ideas that we don't know if they work, but at the same time, they tried these very basic ideas that you would think of first, and wouldn't they have been like, oh, yeah, they already tried they already tried to, like, transport the chair off the holodeck. They probably tried that, like, in Super San Francisco Star Trek land. They probably already tried that.
Academy?
Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
Well, at Starfleet headquarters.
The point I'm making is, like,
which is the same place.
The point I'm making is that they said they got the head guys to work on some serious problems. So wouldn't one of the first things you would try out in San Francisco and Starfleet lab be like, I'm going to transport something off the holodeck?
What about the Daystrom Institute?
I think isn't that in Japan, maybe?
It doesn't fucking matter.
Okinawa.
Don't you think
he's just making conversation.
I'm in the middle of a conversation. I'm almost done with my...
with your side
you don't
of the
make,
conversation.
You don't make fucking conversations while someone is in the middle of saying shit.
Converse.
Look, so don't you think somebody in San Francisco would have already been like, hey, let's try to transport something off the holodeck? But no, they hadn't yet, apparently, because that's what Barclay and LaForge and Data were doing.
Well, why would you want to?
Well, one of the conceits...
This was the only time it ever happened.
No, but Picard said, we have our best minds in Starfleet working on the issue.
Top men.
So wouldn't you think they would have already thought to transport something? Which is also why I say that... he totally forgot and didn't tell them. This is more evidence to suggest that they didn't fucking tell anyone.
I think he did.
I don't think there's any chance of it.
I think he did because I think the character of Picard is designed such that one would expect him to do.
Then how do you explain?
Forget about anything having to do with any obligation to Moriarty, which I believe in Elementary Dear Data that Picard felt sincerely an obligation. Then but beyond how, that, okay. Picard has an obligation to science.
Yes, yes.
And Moriarty's existence is interesting
then how do you,
at that basic
then
level.
How do you explain the fact that the minds in Starfleet didn't think to try to transport
something
off the
holodeck?
We don't
know that they didn't because we didn't see a scene.
I don't think he like,
but they tried it. They tried it. Barclay and LaForge
We didn't see a scene where Data called up the Daystrom Institute or San Francisco and said, hey, tell us all the things you tried.
They would have known that? Don't you think if you were involved in a ship?
No.
I think a lot of the stuff that happens on the Enterprise stays on the Enterprise.
Because, Dan, I'm agreeing with your larger point, which is I do agree that they did not follow up. They sent the information along. They sent some logs.
And
they did not follow
wouldn't
up.
Wouldn't
you
so follow up?
Data didn't follow up. Geordi didn't follow up. Picard didn't
follow
up.
Wouldn't you follow up if it happened on your ship and it was such a crazy thing? Wouldn't you be interested?
Yes.
Because this would be engineers would love to know about this shit. You're saying Barclay, Data, and Geordi are lazy engineers.
The resolution to this issue that is clearly getting you very animated.
Don't say that. I'm animated because I'm making a point here.
And I agree with your point. I think the only justification you have to withdraw to the meta realm and say that, as you hinted at earlier, Dan, this is a function of the storytelling, because in Star Trek, you have to have the conceit that these are super brilliant people, while at the same time, suspending disbelief when the ideas they come up with are super banal.
And you don't need to explain.
And don't seem to be genius ideas.
Okay, see, that's what I was getting at. You're explaining something, which is the point. You're explaining my point to me now.
I am reiterating your point in different language to confirm that we are on the same page.
You could have just been like,
I agree with you.
You could have just been, instead of being like, well, actually, Dan, it's because it's a story and they have to tell story things.
I don't believe I said, well, actually.
You could have said,
I'm positive I did not say, well, actually.
Instead of saying, well, actually, Dan, you know, it's kind of cute that you don't know that this is what happens in the story sometimes. But like, instead, you could have been like, you know, that's a solid point, Dan.
I think you're living in a simulation that is twisting my words. Twisting my words.
I'm living in a simulation.
Are you living in one of them artificial simulations?
But, okay, I think we're on the same page here, though, that this is a fun episode, except it...
None of this is real.
Yes.
It is a simulation.
Still on the holiday.
It is very fluffy in a few parts there in order to make it work, like the throwing in the left-hand, right-hand thing, because, that happens to be an easy visual clue that can be portrayed simply in a 4x3 aspect television program.
So the moment they enter the sitting/drawing room, that's when the ruse begins. That's when it begins.
Well, it's funny because, like, it's Moriarty that, like, does he call up the Arch and walk out? And he's like, see? And he does all that, I think, therefore I am, and except whatever the fuck. And But they totally just are like, okay, look at that guy. He walked right off the fucking holodeck.
Well, that's the other conceit.
But even though he didn't really do it, like, he had them fooled.
The other conceit that you have to have when watching this episode is that the first thing wouldn't have been that Data or Barclay or Picard would say, like, wait a second. Are we still in the hologram?
Yeah.
Now the thing is this is one of the first episodes to kind of do that, do this gimmick. I'm sure there were other similar stories going back further, but this is a very popular version of it. And so subsequent to that, this is the first thing we think of, because now when you watch it, it is funny to be like, come on, Picard. Isn't that the first thing? Like, you're like, okay, this violates the laws of physics.
No. So, according to Data, it says it contradicts everything they know about holodeck physics, specifically holodeck
Picard
physics.
Later talks, just says it in a simplified
way. They're just too eager to, like, discover something new. They're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, taking never advantage
mind,
of that
like,
old,
never mind this other awesome thing that we were about to do. They're about to, like, observe, like, two gas giants collide.
Oh, I like those graphics are pretty cool.
And
for those.
Make a new star. Like, why didn't they just do an episode where they just did that? Like,
I did like that.
Why
as
wasn't
the,
that the A plot?
As the MacGuffin threat in this particular episode, I did enjoy that it was something nice and scientific, but still dangerous, still plausibly dangerous.
Because, like, they're always about to do something like that, like this crazy scientific mission, like watch some like freaky phenomenon happen, and like something really weird happens. But like this is one where it's like extra, like it's extra cool, like the thing that's about to happen that they're gonna like send a bunch of probes and like observe like some crazy shit go down. Like this one's like extra cool.
I like that. The ship was in danger, but not in for sure 100% danger. At least in the real world,
it was always unclear who was.
Well,
who
that's,
they were talking.
The thing is where it can get a little confusing is that clearly
the real Riker.
Clearly in the not real world, they're more intense about it. They're like, no, the ship is going to fucking blow up. There's especially that simulated Riker at the end, and that's meant to have some urgency for the character of Moriarty.
Yeah.
But in the outside world, it's more about like, oh, we're, you know. It's a problem. We're not 100% sure whether it's a problem or not, but it's definitely something to worry about.
I think you always have that problem in space where there's going to be some.
I just enjoy when the threat is both plausible in the context and not too ridiculous. Like, it does get annoying if it's always some. Like, if it's always like, oh, the whole ship is 100% guaranteed to explode if this exact pattern. Exact thing doesn't happen.
No, I agree with you. I'd be interested to know what kind of like pre-effects occur when two gas giants combine. Cause it's like they had 17 hours. Now 17 hours is like less than the blink of an eye when it comes to like gas giants. Right.
Yeah.
So they caught it like right when it was exploding.
That's
like
an episode of Voyager that we discussed.
So that's, so
we also discussed wink of an eye, which is an episode of TOS.
So that's the fact that they were able to get to it that close to when it was combining wasn't exactly coincidental, I guess, because they found it. But at the same time, you'd think like there'd be like pre sort of bad shit going down, because it's not like it would just suddenly they collide and then everything would explode.
Gas
irons, right?
Are very large, and you've got like these massive gravity wells.
I'm saying like
my knowledge of astrophysics and stellar dynamics is insufficient.
Right, no, and that's why I'm not asking you specifically. I'm more throwing it out there that just like saying, you know, when they talk about something's in the process of going supernova, that probably means it's like in the next 100 years it's going to go supernova. So if you're down to like 17
or maybe
hours,
it's just a euphemism for like something awesome's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like they're going to do really well at their recital.
Yeah, I don't think that's what was.
It didn't seem like a euphemism. It did seem like they were looking at actual things.
But this is one of the cooler missions. Like, yeah. And like this other like extra freaky shit happened, like where like some new life forms were created. Yeah. Or
these are really interesting stories with a lot of good drama, but the stakes don't have to be hilariously
stakes.
High. This is a point we've made on a few occasions.
Do you notice how when Data was like throwing the book out the hollow window, it was like going like shoo, it like made a special effect. It went shoo, wouldn't it? It would just glitch away. It would just go boop. It wouldn't go like shoo. And did you notice
that's the sound of books?
That's the sound of books. He threw something else. What books going through the hollow shoo, the end of shoo, that's how books sound when you read them. And how come when he threw the thing, when we found out Geordi was like a fake, like when he threw the shit at the warp core, remember? And it
he took
zapped,
off his badge.
And it zapped, he took off his badge.
It hit
and,
the wall.
And it zapped out of the, yeah. Zapped out. Like, how did he know that it was going to end at the warp core? Like, why would it end at the warp core? Why?
I think
that doesn't make any fucking sense.
Well, no, it wasn't the real warp core. It was just. Yeah. It was
no,
just
I know. My point is not that. My point is why did the holodeck program end there?
I disagree with you. I disagree with you on the principle I think he was just throwing it as hard as he could. And it didn't matter if the wall was 2 meters away or 10 meters away.
No.
It would have hit.
No, because it would have. That's the whole point of the holodeck, is it makes you believe that that's not going to
happen.
No,
but the point is that in the concept of the TNG holodeck, you walk around and you're still in that fucking room.
I know, but the holodeck tricks you into thinking that you're not. Like, how else are they able to,
yeah,
like...
but they've done this before where they've tossed things at the wall to identify that they're in a holodeck or something.
I don't know, man.
Which is what Picard should have done as soon as the Moriarty walked out of the holodeck.
How do you explain, like, some of the shit that happened in Voyager? Like when they went back in time into the black and white sci-fi movie. That looked like it was bigger than the room that they were in, meaning, like... What I my impression
that was later in time.
No, I agree with you. It tricks you.
My impression of the conveyor belts,
and
my
lights and stuff.
Holodeck
like
uses anti gravity and conveyor belts.
I understand what you're suggesting is
treadmill.
Is if in principle the holodeck is designed to trick you, then a real holodeck, if you threw the rock at it, would have somehow like absorbed the rock and then like simulated a rock flying past the wall.
Yeah, why not?
So you wouldn't notice.
Seems pretty basic when you can trick yourself into thinking that the world around you looks real.
100%. I think that is a good point to make, and I agree with it.
You could trick yourself.
I didn't.
The world
I wasn't thinking of it that in the way that in that way, because I became accustomed to the textual language of like you throw things at the wall of the holodeck to be like, see, I'm in a holodeck, or like the holodeck will be like degrading a little bit up in the corner. You'll be like, see, look, it's all like
look, it's all warbly,
it's all
up
weird
there.
Up there. It's all weird.
I like how Data suggested that the holodeck and the transporter are similar systems. You know why I like that? Because I suggested that very same thing when we were watching the Bashir DS9 episode where he was a hollow man.
In Our Man Bashir?
Yeah, I was like, those are like similar systems. And if I remember correctly, you guys were like, Dan, what the fuck are you talking about?
Okay,
that's the most absurd thing I've
ever never said
heard.
That in my entire life,
both of you
Dan,
said
what
that.
The fuck?
First of all, you clearly don't remember that correctly. It's literally on tape.
Well, you can prove me wrong
and
then.
Prove you wrong. Oh, no, you can prove yourself wrong by going back and listening to it. Secondly, you've opened yourself up for the possibility of that idea not having originated in your clever little mind there.
Clever.
No, it didn't originate
but,
in my
but,
mind.
But having, having
it's
in fact,
it's
having
mind.
In fact embedded yourself in your
bullshit.
In your mind when you had seen this episode in the past.
You know why I
because
say that?
Because you saw this episode
long
ago.
You know why I call bullshit on that? Because I also said that the replicators go by the same system as well, and they didn't say that in this episode. Boom!
Yes, Dan, what you've done now is equivalent to when Peggy Hill...
No, it's not.
When Peggy Hill talks about the...
Put a teaspoon of orange juice in her spaghetti. Peggy and Meatballs?
No, no, about the about Thanksgiving, like the day after Thanksgiving being like the
no,
biggest
it's
shopping
not
day
even
of the
same.
In my opinion, that's
my
the
opinion,
busiest shopping
in my
year.
Opinion. Yes, Dan, in your opinion, the thing that's very obvious, you stated it very, very well.
You are a computer simulation.
Very well might be sent by the devil to aggravate you.
The goddamn devil.
The goddamn.
I don't think that you're right on any accounts that you've spoken thus far.
That's fine. This is the point.
Up to this point.
This is one of the
points. That is your right, sir.
This is one of the points of the podcasting medium, is that we have discussions and that the audience finds some degree of entertainment.
Oh, is that?
And some degree of infotainment.
Thanks for the explanation.
I'm just making it clear in case there's an issue there.
You're an entertaining fellow.
There is
I
don't understand.
There's no need for us to be in agreement at all.
I got to wear trousers the whole time.
The whole time. All right. So I really like the Countess quite a bit.
Yes.
Quite a bit. I thought they did a good job.
I see you are a woman not only of breeding, but of wit and sagacity.
Yes.
Picard was like the man, like, you know.
Oh, yeah. That
he was smooth
saying
as
earlier,
fuck.
I was saying
he's
that
a smooth fellow.
The best
smooth.
Conversation is the conversation between Picard and the Countess.
Yeah, because he's all asking her at one point. It's like she's like, "What do you see in this guy?"
They're playing a battle of wits.
Buttle.
They're playing a battle of wits. Buttle. They're playing a battle of wits.
A battle.
And they're at the very minimum equivalent to each other.
Right. So I like that Picard asked her, was like, what do you see in Moriarty? And which is a funny question to ask a hologram, because you're like, why do you
see a bunch of photons.
It's basically saying like, why are you
I see a bunch of photons and magnetic fields.
It's basically asking her, he's saying like, he knows she's programmed to like Moriarty, and like he knows that he's programmed to like that, but he still bothers to ask her why she does something, even though he knows she's programmed that way, because he's trying to get some kind of inside knowledge on how people work, you know?
Well, he's also just getting information from her. He's manipulating her a little bit.
He uses her to manipulate Moriarty.
I think he's still trying to figure out, like, you know, the human condition or whatever you want to call it. I think he's trying
to Picard?
I think he's trying to like get some information out of her for his own edification. Not just to trick her, but to be like, how do people think? Why is this woman attracted to this man? And I bet he like asked her because he thought that that she had pertinent information to give
that would help him Starfleet
philosophically throughout his life.
Yeah,
that's what I think. Plus, he was trying to manipulate.
I could buy that. Yes.
Yeah, but it was a nice conversation. Yeah. Do you have any more clips from that conversation?
I've got a few clips from that conversation.
Yeah. Let's play through some clips from that conversation.
Which when he's
because I enjoyed it so thoroughly.
Wait, when he's talking to
Regina Bartholomew.
Regina.
Regina. Countess Bartholomew.
It's funny because we're
Countess
children.
Regina.
We're all children.
I didn't say anything.
We're all elderly, yeah, but I can see your face.
You can't see anything.
I can see your face and I can see the vigor that goes into you clicking the buttons that activate those clips.
My past is nothing but a fiction.
That's what I say. What were you saying, Jesse?
Does anybody ever say Regina?
No.
Is as opposed really, to Regina?
Isn't it just Regina?
Well, it depends.
Does it?
If we uncouple the transporters, Heisenberg compensators. You're certain he said they had to uncouple the Heisenberg compensators. I want to talk to you about uncoupling the Heisenberg compensator. If we uncouple the transporters, Heisenberg compensators, and allow them to re-scramble
I'm
randomly,
going to say this
then
word,
we can
then
beam
I'm going to say
a holodeck
word,
object instead. Or a person.
Or a person.
Off the grid. With all of the cohesion of conventional matter.
Cohesion.
Well, we're going to try to transport this chair off the holodeck first. We didn't want to try it on the Countess until we were sure it would work.
How thoughtful. Just thoughtful, James. Oh, that's splendid. My mother took to her bed in terror. I'd be bitten by tsetse flies.
Tsetse flies.
Yeah.
Countess Bartholomew.
Tsetse fly.
Regina.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything.
Okay.
Nobody claimed that you did, sir.
You've just looped around is all.
I'm just playing different thoughts. Thoughts, words, sound.
How thoughtful.
It's hard to think and do this at the same time. I need to figure out a proper balance. I'm still working this out, folks. If I seem a little weird, it's because I'm trying to do two things at once, and I need to find a proper balance. A little less of this, a little more of that. It's a work in progress.
I never thought you were weird.
Aww,
I would never say that, sir. You're normal.
Oh, that's splendid.
Splendid.
So what did you think about the ease at which Moriarty was able to give the Countess consciousness? Which we didn't even see. It wasn't a scene we saw.
Oh, yeah.
He tells us all about the Countess, which is a new character, as far as I know.
Oh, wait, by the way, and this is he not only loves her, he adores her, yeah. Which I guess were to take means somehow more. I didn't know that adoring something is more than loving it, but I'll buy it because it sounds like he's very convincing with how he says it.
You know, early 1990s. Masculine form of love.
So, right.
I adore her.
But speaking of the Countess,
dress her up and put her on a shelf. She's so cute.
He loves her forever and ever. But then, what was he doing with Pulaski and Dear Data?
Uh-huh.
He was stuffing her crumpets. But like, he loves
stuffing her crumpets.
He was not stuffing her crumpets.
He was stuffing her full of crumpets. With crumpets. He's stuffing her with crumpets.
I did not mean to interrupt there, Dan.
No, I just wanted to clarify.
That's a good point.
There's a difference between stuffing one's crumpets and
because
stuffing
what is a crumpet with crumpets on a human? What are you talking about?
All right, sorry to continue. Yes.
So,
was he being a cad? Was he stepping out on the Countess?
Being a cad?
granted, Pulaski in Elementary Dear Data was his hostage. That was her primary role and function. So maybe he was just flirting with her to gain some measure of control over her, or an attempt to do so. I don't think it's very easy to do that with Pulaski.
So I interrupted you, Patrick. You were saying something about...
About what?
You were saying... I don't know. You were saying something about the Countess being a new character or something.
Well, yes. So he's got this new character, and she just appears and is very conscious. Now, that's just... You know, I know it's just good writing. We don't need to actually see it happen.
Right.
It's just... It's, again, yeah. it's another conceit of the story that you have to assume that he... Because just the nerd in me wants to know what the question was he asked the computer to do that. Or did he just say, hey, computer, do the same thing to her that you did to me?
Yeah, right.
Like, I don't know. I just want to know what was the command.
It's like wishing for more wishes.
Now, they can't tell us the command because, yeah, it's like wishing for more wishes. And if we knew it, then we'd just be like, okay, why don't we just do this all the time and make a million conscious, like.
And he was created by the computer, but then he was telling the computer what to do. And like, it's a crazy whole concept there.
Well, there was the episode we did recently of Voyager where, two nights on a man's back. What was it?
No, we did Enterprise was 2 days and two nights.
Oh, what was the Voyager episode we did?
Which Voyager? We did a bunch of Voyager episodes. One, we did the worst case scenario.
Worst case scenario.
AKA Balanazon. That was a holodeck gone wrong episode.
And we're asking like, you know, what's preventing him?
And last week was a holodeck gone wrong episode. How many were we doing a bunch of holodeck gone wrong episodes?
We have been,
as it happens.
So we're saying like, you know,
the algorithm
could,
got us.
If it's easy enough to make all these sentient beings, he could just make all these sentient creatures everywhere. Just like in Voyager, Seska could have made like 100 Seskas instead of just that one Seska. Oh, and that would have been 100 times the Seska.
That would have sucked.
Hey, speaking of gross kissing.
Oh, I know. Those two, they were so gross. That kissing. Mm-hmm. It's like they knew he was just sitting there, looking at him, kissing.
Mm-hmm. You keep talking during the part that I want to... Mm-hmm. That's the important part.
It's so gross.
Mm-hmm. You gotta get a drum machine to put a beat under all this. Mm-hmm.
It has its own beat. Mm-hmm. It's creating its own beat.
Mm-hmm. It is an odd thing. Mm-hmm. It is an odd thing being human. such a peculiar, visceral, wet lifestyle we lead.
It's,
you know? No matter how dry we want to be,
it's reaching the traumatic.
It gets moist in the end, doesn't it? One way or another. An odd world.
Policeman, I'd recognize them in any century.
I like that.
That's a good line.
He knows what the deal is.
I know. He knows. Yeah, everybody knows.
Everyone knows.
All right.
Cogito ergo sum.
I think therefore I am. All right. Let's take a break. When we return from the break, we can conclude. Any other points we wanted to make? I'm sure there's a few more that we got to get through. All right.
I think I got a couple.
We will be
right.
Jesus. God.
Okay, we're back. All right.
I like how Riker is just
the home stretch.
Riker's having none of Moriarty's shit that whole time. Like he's
well,
he's,
is that the real Riker?
Well, there's real Riker, fake Riker. Fuck. Like
there's
well,
only a little bit of real Riker. There's a lot of fake Riker.
Well, what if, when he says,
"I don't have time for games."
When he says that to Moriarty,
well, that was fake Riker.
That was fake Riker.
Fake Riker. Yeah.
I can't and then, keep then track
there's
anymore.
Like the, then there's like the first Riker you see that's the fake Riker, and he's like totally like a subdued Riker. That he just doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
Just,
well, Riker in all forms is didn't want to dick around with Moriarty's shit anymore.
I mean, that's sort of understandable given the context.
I know, but like Picard
it was very matter
Picard,
of fact.
Picard was all like, "Oh Moriarty, oh Moriarty, oh."
Yeah,
I assure you, Moriarty, we're doing everything within our power. And Riker's like, Moriarty,
you sound like
what the
Churchill.
Fuck, Moriarty? Get out of my face, Moriarty. Sick of your shit, Moriarty. Oh, Moriarty, yes, we are doing everything within our power.
The Riker hologram.
We are doing everything within our power to put you on a ship and get you off the holodeck program along with Regina Bartholomew.
Your impersonations are really improving week to week. It's fantastic stuff.
Captain? I can't even do it. I got so lost in the Picard impression that
That's the Picard impression. That's what that was.
It's a journey back to the Trip Tucker impression. Yeah. I can't get it. Captain?
But
Captain?
So the Riker hologram that was from like the Moriarty driven hollow was so much more subdued than like the later we see the Riker hologram by the like the that Data and Picard made, that's more like the real Riker. He's all like annoyed.
Yeah.
It's just his sort of natural state is like, I'm kind of annoyed.
And we do briefly see the real Riker talking to
Extra
Moriarty.
Annoyed. Yeah.
He's the normal Riker.
Yeah.
Yeah. What have you done with Lieutenant Barclay and Commander Data?
That's the only time you see the real Riker until like, and the real war.
Well, now I'm
until
just
the end.
So confused.
Yeah, no, it's a little bit confusing. I had to watch it a couple times to be like, wait, which one was the real Riker?
I want to know what Moriarty's whole plan like hinged on the idea that if put under pressure, like Data and Barclay and LaForge would figure out how to solve his problem. Yes. And like he was thinking like, well,
it's an Elizabethan or it's like a Victorian style plan.
But it's it's fucked up because like, what if they don't figure it out just because they can't? They only have 7 hours, and like if they
but
can't,
but it's like three dudes from Starfleet in like the 24th century.
You're right. This is a plan. This whole episode is structured like a fucking fable because it's a plan out of
a fucking fable,
like a fable. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think there's something timeless about that. But at the foundation, at the core, this is a very straightforward fable tale, and that's part of the thing that makes it a fable is that the solution.
How many times
are
you going
to
say fable?
How many times do you want me to say?
It's
fable?
A fucking fable.
It's a goddamn fable.
It's a goddamn.
All sorts of epithets. I'm a naughty boy.
Well, let me see here now. Let me see here now.
Is that your Picard impression again?
Hey there.
Doing another Picard impression?
Make it so now. I can't. Now I'm drifting into real Picard.
Earl Grey.
Into real Picard.
I was drifting into real Picard. I can't
do it. You're my number one Picard.
You're my number one dad.
Chief O'Brien.
That'll please
Chief
a lot of people.
O'Brien.
No.
Well, we're talking about. Okay, no, the point, the thing, yes, you were responding to the fact that I was saying it's like not really cool of Moriarty because like I understand how like he doesn't want to harm the Enterprise, but he'll do it if they're incompetent. It's not even like I'll harm you if you like backstab me. He's like, I'll harm you if you're incompetent because it's what they're trying to do is basically it goes against all the laws of holodeck physics. And so, like, they might just not figure it out in 7 hours, in which case, Moriarty's blowing up 1,000 people for no fucking reason other than he's an impatient asshole.
It's an 18th century outlook on
He's a really bad dude. He's doing this shit. There's like 1,000 fucking people on the Enterprise D. Like,
he's doing unnecessary like, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the nature of...
He's still a villain.
An evil villain.
He's saying, oh, I'm not a villain anymore.
I'm doing overcomplicated, unnecessary shit.
And meanwhile, Picard's just like...
You must understand that I'm responsible for more than 1,000 lives.
That's a classic Picard line.
It is a classic.
That line stands on its own. But yes, so you're saying that's fable-ish for some reason, Patrick.
Okay.
Fable-ish?
What I'm trying to get at is that I think...
Fabled.
I think that the writers... had to make a choice here. And one of the choices was basically between, do we structure this episode more as a more straightforward, simple sci-fi fable-ish type of thing?
You said fable again.
Fable-ish.
That allows for some fun stuff, but it's pretty simple. You just have to have a few leaps of
hemoglobin
faith kind of thing.
You need a few heaps of hemoglobin, as Jesse said. Patrick said leaps of faith, but Jesse says heaps of hemoglobin.
Whatever,
said hemoglobin.
Whatever colloquial phrase you prefer. The other option would have been to lean more into the moral complications that Picard hinted at, because Picard gives this passionate, breathy speech about the ethical and moral considerations at play when creating artificial life, either by accident or on purpose, and what the differences is and what the amount of knowledge they have in terms of
differences is
what the
differences are.
You know, what the differences,
what the differences is.
What the differences is?
Yes, it's a colloquial phraseology.
What condition my condition
it's colloquial.
Is in.
So if you say something incorrectly, you can just say it was colloquial. Is that what you're saying?
If it exists
what
colloquially in some population.
I don't think...
I got you there.
No, you didn't. I don't agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, you do. You ruefully
no,
agree.
No, there was no rue to my fleet.
You ruefully agree.
There was no rue.
But you're laying in wait for the next mistake. I understand that. You're keeping me on my toes, sir. You're keeping me on my toes. But the other option the
computer
writers could have taken.
Program.
No, not yet. The other option the writers could have taken was to have discussed these ethical and moral issues in more detail and made the plot sort of center around that. That's like the measure of a man. You know, the measure of a man is a type of, that's where it's all about the morals and it's all set in a courtroom, you know, or you got the other one with the admiral and the Romulan boy and the
war drum.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. War drum?
No, you know what, now you know the title and now you're not saying it for real.
The Romulan boy?
Yes.
When was there a Romulan boy?
The half Romulan or like quarter Romulan.
You're talking about Alexander? He was half Klingon.
No, never mind. Drumhead.
Oh, that's what I said.
No, you were saying war drum.
Alexander was three quarters Klingon.
You're right.
Yes, because
right.
his
mom
mother
was a halfsies.
Did you just call him a mongrel, Patrick?
No,
did you just
I
fucking
didn't.
Call him a mongrel?
No, I said
you said mongrel.
I said his mom was half Klingon.
Jesse, did you hear that shit?
I think I heard you stirring the pot.
Stirring the melting pot. All right.
Not cool, man.
Okay, but you know, you get what I'm saying, right? I think they said, let's do the straightforward sci-fi and have it be a little bit more fun.
Have it be a little bit more
fun. Yeah, have it be a little bit more fun and a little bit more simple. Yeah. I still would like to consider what some of these moral and ethical concerns would be, because it does, it's kind of true. It's like, you don't know how this happened. You don't know how long it's going to last. Is it okay to bring somebody to life? Are they going to get trapped in some like horrific consciousness smeared across the membrane of the universe in a couple of hours?
You know, I don't
or
like
something?
The word smeared. You know, the smeared?
It's a gross word.
Because it makes me think of spreading poop on toast.
What? Right. No, okay. It is with great pain that I explain that you've mentioned this before. And somebody said the word smeared, and you've mentioned smearing poop on toast.
Well, most people haven't heard every single podcast.
No,
that's why you talk about like that the algorithm at the beginning of each episode.
I'm calling this out not for the purpose
smearons, intersmearon.
Do you put anything on your toast? Do you eat toast?
I'm not trying to point out the repetition.
I don't eat toast.
Okay. So you don't like put anything on. So you don't have to smear anything on your toast.
I toast to make a sandwich. That's
I'm just noting.
Yeah, okay.
All I'm doing is
I don't eat a lot of toast either.
I'm noting this because we may have to note it again in the future. And
so you're not actively smearing.
We might have to write it down in one of those diaries where it's like, can you keep a diary about Dan if his behavior changes in any way?
You're not putting jam on bread. You're not putting a lot of anything on bread.
I don't buy any kind of jam or
so
jelly or
the only thing that comes to mind when somebody says smearing is feces for you.
Because I have peanut
you're
butter.
Not putting anything.
Well, sometimes I have red raspberry preserves.
That's what you smear.
Sometimes at dinner, if I have dinner rolls, I'll put butter on them. But I don't smear the butter
well,
on.
It's a dinner roll. You don't smear a butter roll.
I put butter
roll.
On if I'm making a grilled cheese, for example.
Yeah, well, that's a...
Put butter on the...
Well, you're smearing
that's the kind of
bread
that you
bread.
Smear. No.
Oh.
No.
What is up with this ChatGPT anyway?
Why are you bringing that up?
Because they won't shut up about it all week. All you hear about is AI.
Shut up about it.
AI is shut fucking up AI. About, about. Yes, ChatGPT.
About.
ChatGPT came out with like the newer version, and everyone's boner fied about it, and like, okay. And their vulvas are all full of blood.
That's beyond the focus of this podcast.
First of all, I do enjoy your attempt at bringing some gender neutrality to this podcast. I appreciate sure. that.
Appreciates the attempt, meaning that was backhanded.
I don't intend it to be backhanded.
Okay. Well.
But I am also hedging my own bets. I'm right. protecting so my
even,
position.
You can't even commit.
I want to acknowledge while protecting my position.
So you want to praise me if it wins you points, but if it doesn't, just in case it doesn't, you want to be able to hedge that one too.
Precisely. Mm. I think that's the rational thing to do.
You do really good at politics. You do really good.
What is that?
Politics.
What is that voice
Dan's new character.
Is there something stuck in there?
Hey, Jesse.
You got something stuck in there, dude.
Hey, Jesse. All right. You should be in politics.
You should see somebody about that.
Yeah, I think you should ask ChatGPT. I want you to load up ChatGPT and get
Jabba Doo.
I want you to load it up.
Jabba Doo. Jabba Jabba Jabba.
And I want you to just ask it. I just want you to type in, will you help me? Question mark.
Will you, ChatGPT, help me? Hey, Willie.
Willie.
Seems like Moriarty got tricked rather easily, don't you think? After all this trickery he did. That
all of them got tricked easily. Picard got tricked easily. Data got tricked easily.
Everyone got tricked really easily.
Moriarty got tricked easily.
So they turned around and tricked him back.
And they should have listened to Ace of Base, who said, what did they famously say?
I saw the sign.
Don't turn around. Unless you want to get me trapped in a holodeck.
That was their original tune.
Don't turn around unless you want to see me trapped in a holodeck.
Just walk away.
I saw the sign.
I don't
want to
be trapped in a holodeck.
My favorite rhymes are the same word.
And especially when you repeat the entire line.
Yeah.
Don't turn around unless you wanna catch with the wrong hand. Just walk away. That's what happens in a buggy holodeck. Oh.
All right. So
that was embarrassing. I think I embarrassed myself.
All right.
Nah.
Not thanks, Jesse.
Okay, so at the end of this episode...
At the end of the episode, Picard's like, we'll join you shortly. And Worf's like, Captain? And then Picard's like, Mr. Worf, everything's all right.
Yeah, right.
And what was the point of that line?
He was Worf was really fucking worried.
Yeah he was worried.
Oh, yeah, because Worf and his security team
he's
got to
protect the captain.
And it was great because like the one security guy was just all like, you know, like zapping the force field. It was all like zim. And he's like, what? And then he all like looks a little bit and he's like all like, considers where he's going to touch it next. And then he all touches it and is like,
Yeah,
he's just doing that, just tapping. He's like, I don't know
what's
going on
here.
Surrounded
by force fields.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I guess
the other guy was just fiddling around in the wall, and Worf was just standing there looking all. He was all like, I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, he's like a lost cat or something, or I don't know, dog. I don't know which is more pathetic, a lost cat or dog. Anyways, but at the end, he was like, Captain, is everything okay? And he's like,
probably a lost baby.
Everything is okay. Yes.
Well, yes, Worf. I do say that everything is gonna be okay.
That's not how he talks.
Okay, at the end of the episode, at the end of the episode, they do this whole thing where it's like, oh, Moriarty's in this cube, and then they have a handy dandy.
Yeah.
What was
cube
the term?
Charge.
The cube box they put it in.
Did they have a term for it?
Yeah. There was a term for it. Barclay had a term for it. He has this
enhancement module.
Melee's too?
It's called an
enhancement module.
Wow, they could have come up with something a little.
I don't know, I like that. I like the practicality.
That's what it is.
Of it.
It's totally...
I mean, the enhancement module looks silly, and I had to wonder: is like, did they?
Well, module is a silly word.
Is that a bespoke enhancement module, or did they just have a bunch of those lying around? Because every now and then you just have to have a cube, a hollow cube.
They have a whole room full of modules on the D.
Well, did that enhancement module enhance anything, or did it just live on its own?
I presumed it was just... Well, he did say it had enough memory for a lifetime, so presumably it had a bunch of star systems and everywhere that the...
Well, something happens if that dude comes back in the
if you're
Picard
if we're being generous,
but what is it?
If we're being generous, it has enough data to simulate them flying around to anywhere they could feasibly go in the shuttlecraft.
So an enhancement module is just a mini holodeck. So why didn't they just call it a mini holodeck? Why would
because
they call
technically
it?
It's not a holodeck because it's virtual.
But you got to think of something better than enhancement. Holocube. Enhancement module sounds like you attach it to another module to make it better.
To me, it makes sense if it's an enhancement module, if it's enhancing, say, the memory storage, the memory capacity. If that's what's being enhanced.
Maybe right, yeah, exactly. It enhances something. So what did it enhance?
Fair point. They should have called it a memory enhancement module.
What do you got?
But what did it? But an enhancement makes it seem like it doesn't live on its own. It's something you attach to something else. Yeah.
So
my point.
Now here's the question.
That's what module mean. Enhancement module would mean to me.
Totally.
Here is a very important question.
It's equipment. Mm.
The very important question.
It's not going to be that important.
It is. In this case, it is.
Just listen.
It's recently become even more important because of the Star Trek Picard season 3 trailer. So the question is what was the ultimate disposition of Moriarty, the Countess, and their little holographic virtual world? Now,
they were having a blast.
Now, yeah. The reason why this becomes important.
Oh, maybe they get sick of each other and they want a divorce.
Is because in.
Maybe he misses Pulaski. Is Pulaski coming back?
He kills her and eats her.
Pulaski coming back?
In Star Trek Generations.
The actor who plays Pulaski is still doing stuff, right?
In Star Trek Generations.
What's her name?
The Enterprise D gets in a little lick of trouble. So it's potentially possible. People have argued that Moriarty would have died. Moriarty and the Countess would have died when there was
systems failure.
Problem on the Enterprise
Deanna D. Muldar.
Diana. Her name's just Diana.
Mulder.
I think it's Deanna.
No, that's Deanna Troy. Her name is Diana.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, look at the letters.
I did look at the letters.
Yeah, Diana.
Looks like Deanna to me.
Is it spelled with an E?
There's only one Deanna. Everybody else is Diana.
You're being all trolly.
Trolling.
No, but it's important. It's important.
Oh, okay.
So was the professor destroyed with the Enterprise D? Well, maybe yes, maybe no. Who knows?
Oh, that's the question.
Because it's not, everyone's always assumed that he's stored on the Enterprise D. When really, it's like, Captain Picard.
He belongs in a museum!
Captain Picard gave the enhancement monster device. To Barclay and was like, Barclay, make sure this is like taken care of. You know, making sure this is all stored away properly or whatever. So Barclay could have at any time moved this to some other place. You know, he ended up doing other stuff.
Was Barclay going to be in this season?
What?
Is Barclay going to be in the season?
I very much doubt he will be in this
season. No, I don't think that guy acts anymore.
Is Pulaski going to be in the season?
I don't believe so.
I hope not.
Then what do we know? We don't know anything, do we?
No, we don't know. Maybe there's nothing with this. No, this guy. It's just a tease.
It's a good question. I wonder if they addressed the fact that the Enterprise D exploded. That would be I want to know if they addressed this.
Didn't they already just deal with that?
No, but I'm saying like if they still have Moriarty around, yeah, I would like them to address the question of why is he not blowed up.
I'm sure there's some kind
of
nonsense.
He's a copy of something, or he's a fantasy, or he's a psychic projection. It could be
a golem.
Picard keeps having those wacky dreams. Maybe it's just part of his wacky.
He can give
him
a golem.
A golem.
Oh,
they can give golem. They can give Barclay a golem.
Not Barclay.
Not Barclay. Moriarty. Yeah.
Please don't give Barclay a golem.
We're done with. We Barclay was enough. Yes. We got enough of him.
Yeah, there's a bunch of Barclay on Voyager too.
Reginald Barclay.
Later Voyager.
So
yeah, that's right. So weird.
Crusher is talking about I was just saying she's calling it the mini holodeck. Listen to this.
A miniature holodeck.
Does that sound like anything you've heard before?
A miniature holodeck.
Holograms.
Okay,
a miniature
again.
Holodeck.
Holodeck?
A miniature holodeck.
Wait.
A miniature holodeck.
Holograms? Holograms?
It's in the middle.
A miniature holodeck.
Holograms.
Close.
A miniature holodeck.
Holograms.
She says maybe she's from where they are from.
Where they are.
I don't think so.
No.
Computer and program.
Program.
All right. There was some techno babble in this episode.
Okay, let's go through the techno babble. There was some fun techno babble beyond the enhancement module, which I liked and doesn't like.
Well, I mean, I liked it. I just thought it
You wanted the one extra adjective attached to it. Descriptive adjective attached to the enhancement module so we would know what, in fact, it was enhancing.
I don't think that's too much to ask.
There must have been a glitch in the matrix diodes, but I'll track it down. Don't worry.
I bet.
Matrix diodes.
Maybe there was a fragmentation of the protected memory. memory circuits.
Ah, it could be.
Now the guy was on triple the redundancy on all of the sensor arrays.
Triple redundancy.
Triple redundancy.
I mean, that's not really technobabble. Triple.
Wait.
And redundancy.
Now I want triple redundancy on all of the sensor arrays.
So, well, okay, sensor arrays.
You're right.
Okay.
There's a little. It's got some
light.
Connection.
It's pretty light.
So that's really all the basic techno.
I'm just saying, you know, I could see like a regular old scientist.
I can hear a regular scientist say that too. You're right.
Or like a solar installer, perhaps.
You're absolutely right. I don't think there was much more in the way of technobabble. I guess there was a couple things if you want to look at it. But as I noted earlier, I like when Geordi says Reg. I already did that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Reg. Thanks, Reg. Thanks, Reg.
He's always calling him Reg. Oh.
I still
don't understand what's going on. Like, he's not moving that quick.
No,
it's not like they're gonna just collide in the corridor. Like, like what the hell, Geordi?
There was one.
He's just asserting his dominance.
Then there was. Well, speaking of Reg, he was talking about how Moriarty can only like be in the holodeck. So he goes like,
"You can only exist in here,"
which made me think of
when just now.
For some reason, I don't know. I was like,
the cadence
only exist in here.
When just now, yeah, just now.
Just to clarify, you only you're playing a quote from Spaceballs.
When
movie.
Just now,
the whole bit is.
When does this happen in the movie?
Now, you're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened to then?
Past then.
When
just now? We're at now. Now,
go back to then.
When
now?
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 I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When
just now?
When will then be now?
Soon.
And you can cut it in half if you cut out some of the extraneous bits in that same bit.
Now. Now, sir. Now. Now. Just now. Wear it now. Now.
Which is
now,
the other
now,
guy.
Now. Just now. When will then be now? Soon.
Sorry, that was...
Now, now, now. Yeah, Dark Helmet and Colonel Sanders.
What a great movie.
Yeah.
It was an excellent film.
Yeah.
Huge chunks of it are meaningless.
We should do it. And it's got that movie.
And I had another thing that reminded me of something
Space
else.
Spaceballs!
Does this remind you of anything?
As far as I can tell, he's real.
And it's surreal!
It's fake!
And it's surreal!
As far as I can tell, he's real.
It's a fake.
And it's surreal.
It's a fake.
He's real.
Why is it all echoing?
It's a fake.
He's real.
It's a fake.
He's real.
It's a fake.
And it's surreal. Don't you understand? It is real. And it's real.
It's a fake.
And it's surreal.
As far as I can, he's real.
It's a fake.
And it's real. Right. Don't you understand?
So
it is real. It's surreal.
I just want to give
it's a fake.
Very brief behind the scenes thing, which was that, you know, we have this algorithm that we often use. And the algorithm, a number of weeks in a row, suggests that we do Far Beyond the Stars. And that was actually a higher choice than the episodes we actually ended up doing. And that's because of this. For this reason, I love Far Beyond the Stars. I think it would be very difficult for us to get through that in any
it's a fake.
And it's real.
Meaningful way.
It's a fake.
Okay. All right.
For a while there, I was having a hard time figuring out which one was from that. If you go to that, there's that YouTube video that does the "it's real, it's a fake" thing.
Yeah.
So, which do you think it is? Do you think it's this one?
And it's real.
Or is it this one?
And it's surreal. And it's real. And it's surreal.
Wow. What's the difference? I do hear a difference between them.
They're different ones, but only one of them is used.
In the other one,
in the full quote, they use part of it in the other one, but only one of them do they use the full quote. It's actually this is the first one he
and
says
it's
real. And this is this in the episode. This is the second time he says
don't
it.
Don't you understand? It is real.
And this is the third time.
And it's surreal.
And this is the fourth and last time.
He's real.
Oh, whoops! That's.
Oh, it's real.
That's the one. It's the third
that's
time.
That's the most upsetting one.
Yeah.
It's real.
I do have to admit. I mean, this is all very good.
As far as I can tell,
this is a very thorough analysis of a different television program. I'm not 100% sure what's going on here. What the point is?
I don't think I know either. But interestingly enough, these both sound similar.
And it's real. And it's real. Okay.
But it's this one, the third
and
one.
And it's real.
That's the one they use in the YouTube video.
And it's real.
Not this one.
And it's real. Yeah.
They use this one.
It's real.
Okay, all right.
It's real.
you have...
It's a fake.
You've indicated across a number of axes... of information
London's
flow.
Greatest detective.
That we have concluded the conversation.
It's not even like an English accent.
For the evening. All right. I get the hint. We're done talking about this episode. Classic episode.
Barclay is spelled like Barclay and not like, yes, Berkeley. Right. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah.
You are a computer simulation.
Yes.
Yes, computer simulation.
The Enterprise is a starship.
This is
computer simulation.
Star Trek 101.
The Enterprise is a starship.
It's a starship.
Star Trek 101 right there.
Time.
Time becomes a loop. Time.
This is a great one.
My past is nothing but a fiction. The scribblings of an Englishman dead now for four centuries.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great line.
Yeah.
Great line. Okay. Okay.
Fictional man.
All right. That was
overwhelming.
That was Ship in a Bottle, a Super Excellent Shibbity
Bobble.
Powerless man.
And it was Shibbity Bobble.
Next week, we Shibbity will be
bobble.
Discussing.
Shibbity Bobble?
Next week.
Is what? Is it Shibbity Bobble?
Next week.
That's what it sounded like. Shibbity Bobble.
Next week. Next week. Next week. Next week. Next week, we will be discussing
Picard.
Whatever the
Picard.
First episode of Picard Season 3 is called. We don't know what it's called yet.
It's called Awesome.
But that starts our weekly
Shibbity
coverage of Picard. So get all super excited about that, and we look forward to
you get excited.
We look forward to talking about that. We also look forward to listening to all the other fun podcasts out there who will no doubt be talking
real.
About. Yes. Okay. So
Alana's on it.
Alana's on
ready.
It. It's time to go. Social media at It's Got Star
Apple
Trek
podcast,
Twitter, Instagram, Mastodon, etc.
All that stuff.
YouTube, Facebook.
You know what it is.
You know the deal. Like and subscribe, and click the hearts. And
everybody knows the internet.
Rate 5 stars.
I don't know
Uber
the internet.
And all that other
everybody
stuff.
Can figure
Alana's
it out.
Alana's on it.
Just do all that
Alana's
stuff.
Alana's on it.
Alana's on it.
Really appreciate
Alana's
it.
Alana's on it. Alana's on it.
I'm sorry. I'm feeling guilty. I'm getting that itch where I'm like, I'm doing it compulsively and I need to stop.
I hadn't noticed.
Well, I don't know how to take that one. Either I'm doing it compulsively or I need to stop. I'll just take both as to be true.
we'll figure it out in the intervening time. All right. We will talk to you all.
Work in progress, folks. I'm a work in progress.
We'll talk to you all next week. Bye bye.
Curious. There seems to be a problem with the holodeck spatial orientation systems.
London's greatest detective.
Freeze program.